it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Diddy, every single Monday at this time. Now, before we get to the Diddy, let me tell you this. Tomorrow, right around this time, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, you want to listen to our program. At least I would encourage you to want to listen to our program, because we're going to be giving away Eagles-Rams tickets. So before every Eagles home game, we give away a pair of tickets on the Friday before that game.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And we thank NovaCare for their partnership with our program. And the way we give them away is it's similar, same thing as last year. So if you remember, hopefully you know. But if not, let me just tell you, we give you a name on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, another name Wednesday at 8 o'clock, another name Thursday at 8, another name Friday at 8. Bottom line, four classic Eagles names, or maybe they're scrubs. Typically, they're like big stars. And know those four names on Friday, and you can win the tickets when we give you the cue to call the contest line. The key is you got to listen. 8 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And that's how you can always win tickets on our show. All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Man, do we love having Ray on the show. And, of course, every single week, Ray joins us at this time. Well, that is other than last week when they played on a Thursday on the first game. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. So excited for 2-0. It felt to me similar to last year, regular season-wise, how they kind of grinded it out. More of a defense and offense-led game. Biggest takeaway from you that you had from the game yesterday, what's the number one takeaway?
The number one takeaway was the takeaway. Yeah. You know, Makuba's play. I mean, that really talk about a game changer. Oh my. You know, I mean, that's the Chiefs are right there. They're working a 13 play drive, taking it right down the field from their own 20 down to knocking on your door. It looks like they're ready to take the lead. And he comes up, and Makuba comes up with an interception on a 41-yard return that you turn into a touchdown on the other end. That's a 14-point swing in a 3-point game. It's huge, huge play. And it's, you know, that's what everybody said about Makuba when he was being scouted. That's what everyone said about him going into the draft, was that he just has a nose for the football. I mean, it's an old shop-worn cliche, and people have thrown it around for years. But it's a truism with certain players. I mean, certain players in that position just have a knack or an instinct or whatever that they're around the football. And this kid demonstrated it, not as much at Clemson, but certainly his 1 year at Texas. And that's what the Eagles saw, and that's why they drafted him. And in a moment when you need it, you desperately needed somebody to make a play, you know, the old coach's expression, we need somebody to make a play. Well, this kid stepped up and made the play that changed the game, really.
Sure did. Sure
it
did.
Seems like he's always doing stuff like that. Ray did.
Sure does. I remember the first time he got on the field in the preseason this year.
Yeah.
He has a game where he has a pick six. And yeah. Then later on gets a takeaway, forces a fumble.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's just not by accident. I mean, if you watch the tape of him at Texas last year, you saw that. You
wow.
know, and I really liked him. My only concern when the Eagles drafted him, I mean, they got him in the second round, and when the Eagles were coming up for the second round, I was looking at the players that were available, and I knew they were probably going to be looking for help in the secondary, and his name sort of jumped off the board. I mean, my only concern about him, and I kind of still have it, is he just looks slim to me. That was the word coming out. I mean, they say he's 185. I'm not even sure he is. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, is he going to be able to hold up in a long NFL season? You know, I just wonder if these guys going to be able to stay on the field. But when he's on the field, you know he is, because he's around the football.
Yeah, another guy who is slim and problematic more often than not, Adoree Jackson. Yesterday he looked better, Ray, but I wonder, in your estimation, is that because he was better, or is that because the wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs are all really slight and not quite as polished and not quite as talented as most?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he played a lot better, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I had concerns about him coming into the season, and I certainly had them coming out of the opener. And yesterday was a little bit better, but again, none of their starting, the two starting receivers were out, so they're playing with their backups. You know, not that Hollywood Brown's a bad player, but I mean, it wasn't that. But I think you will certainly find out this week. You will certainly find out this week because the Rams are coming to town and they have Nacua and they now have Devontae Adams.
Oh my gosh.
And they're playing really good.
And Matthew Stafford, really, really good. That, you know, this feels like another example of Za'Darius Smith, doesn't it, Ray? Like another example of a veteran who really didn't feel the need to do training camp. Like Matthew Stafford, his coach, they don't feel like it benefits him in any way to practice. So they say he's got back tightness. Then people like me think, okay, good, we're going to have an opportunity to get Matthew Stafford. But then I watch him the first 2 weeks. He does not look like he's got back
tightness. Yeah, that's a heck of a game. And they obviously gave the Eagles the closest game last year. Ray, let's get to some other aspects of the team. Hurts and the Eagles offense. Why the struggle? Can you tell why? So, when he played so well and they played so well in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I was hoping it would be a pathway to improved, consistent offense this year in the passing game. It has not been. Why?
I like to just attribute it to the fact that your guys, your key guys, your quarterback and your top receivers didn't play in the preseason. And to be frank, Brown and Smith didn't even practice all that much. They weren't taking full reps all during training camp. So they're still working it out. You know, I mean, there are two wide receivers and your quarterback weren't really working that much in the preseason, and you've got a new offensive coordinator. And so that's a lot of stuff that kind of has to get worked out in the real season. And I think that's part of it. I know there's a lot of people that are really scratching their heads, and some of them openly wondering, oh, my God, do we have really problems with the offense? I don't see it. I mean, last week was a struggle against the Cowboys, no question about that. But when I went back and looked at the tape, I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me, I thought, was I just didn't think the offensive line played very well. I mean, when I went back and looked at it again, for a unit that we absolutely think is the best in the league, and you expect it to play at a high, high level every week, you know, the Dallas game was not that. I mean, Lane Johnson made a couple of mistakes, which you never see. You know, Mailata got beat on a couple plays, which you just don't see. The center, you know, Juergens, I thought really struggled against Clark. And Dickerson's obviously playing through some stuff. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The guy who played best on the offensive line last week was Steen, you know, and you go back on it and you say, well, why would that be? And I think it's partly because he actually did play some in the preseason. The other guys had not. And
wow.
So then, you know, people, that makes a difference. I mean, it really does make a difference. And I think they're still working through some of this stuff. I mean, the way Nick approaches things. And so I'm not overreacting or not overly worried about any of that stuff. I mean, early season football, September football in today's NFL, is a lot of it is like this. A lot of it is like this. Well, teams are, I don't want to say it's an extended preseason, but teams really hitting on all cylinders now? Not many of them. So I think that's kind of where this team is. But the real key is, and they're able to do this, is win the game.
Yeah.
They're not going to be pretty.
Yep.
Statistically, they're not going to be huge. You're going to come out of some of them scratching your head and with a little concern. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you've won the game. You're 2-0 now, you know, and you move forward. But now you've got a really good Rams team in here, and the team that's coming in here next Sunday, I think, is better than the Chiefs as they're currently constituted.
I agree.
I think this is the toughest team. This is the toughest game you'll have faced to this point. And the Eagles are offensively are going to have to play better because the Rams. Look, the Eagles' defense is good, and Vic Fangio does a great job preparing you. But the Eagles are going to have to get more out of their receiving core in this week's game if they hope to win it.
How much better does our offense become if we get Dallas Goedert back? And the challenge, I think the challenge for me is when you get accustomed to him setting or hooking the edge, you know, for the run game or kicking out. You know, like he controls people in the run game. When I watched that, and then yesterday, you could see that we struggled there. How much does he change things if we get him back this week, Ray?
Big time. big time. I think he's really a key player. I mean, as a receiver, I mean he's really good at that. And there are a couple plays that he and Hurts run together. You know, that little backdoor rollout play where you know, it's a fake and it's kind of a waggle motion and the tight end kind of doubles back against the flow, comes out the back door, and he's always wide open. I mean, that's a play that is there all day long.
Yeah.
And they run it really good in key situations. That converted a lot of third downs for them, and he's really good at that. So the receiving part of it, we always knew he was going to be good at, and he has been. But the part of it where he has really improved, to me to a shocking degree, is blocking. I mean, he has become not just an okay blocker, an adequate, but he's become a very good blocker. And when they don't have him, it makes a difference. You know, Calcaterra can do a lot of the things in a receiving game, but he's not a blocker. I mean, he'll try. I mean, he gives you the effort, but he's not a good blocker. Goddard is a really good blocker. And when he's not on the field, it impacts your running game. There's no question about that. So, I mean, I don't know what the status of his knee injury is, but facing a team like the Rams this week, I certainly hope he's available because I think the Eagles will need him.
Ray Diddy with us as he is every Monday at this time, breaking down the game. Ray, let's talk about the tush push. I mean, maybe that was the most they ever ran it in a game. It was a lot. So everyone's watching across the nation yesterday. It's a Tom Brady broadcast, 425 time slot. We see a lot of penalties not called. I have a theory that the new mantra of those that hate it will be that the refs cannot properly officiate it. And that's what they'll take to the rules committee this upcoming offseason and say, we got to get rid of it. The refs actually, it's too much for them. Do you buy that theory?
Well, they tried the injury thing, and that didn't wash because there's no evidence that it's true. This one, they can make a case for.
Yeah.
You know, this one, they can make a case for. And there's no doubt. I mean, there was no doubt there were a couple times that. And you saw Andy Reid was livid on the sidelines, and he should have been. I mean, there was clearly motion. But, you know, there's going to be a huge... pardon the expression, there's going to be a huge push to get that thing overturned this year. It really will be. And if the Eagles win again using that the way they used it yesterday, I don't think there's any way it holds up for another year. I mean, I think that it just barely made it. I was surprised that it hung on this year.
Me too.
If they win again this year and continue to have this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Same success with the play. I really think it'll be overruled. And Joe, I think you identified one of the arguments, and I'll have the film to prove it. One of the arguments on, you know, the referees can't officiate this play. It's unfair. We got to get it out of the books. And I think that's a very real possibility. But there's no doubt. There's no doubt that it's a big part of the Eagles' arsenal. Although,
huge.
Now that you see it, I mean, teams are defending it much better than they did before. I mean, it's not nearly as automatic as it was. I mean, the Eagles are still doing it very well at a high rate, but it's not as simple as every time they line up, you know, they're going to make it because it's become tougher for them because teams have figured out a better way to defend it.
Maybe
but it's still,
until
I mean,
until we do an end around off of what we're doing now and defenses have
not much,
to
though.
Further.
I, not much.
I'm telling you, it's constantly in
even
flux.
Sirianni it, said it, yesterday, it everyone knows
change.
What's about to happen. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, Ray, I'm curious. 3 or 4 years ago when this whole thing started, I felt like you, me, and Jaws were the only three around here that said we are personally against it. Glad the Eagles can use it, but personally against it as football fans. Do you remain against it?
No. No,
but you were right.
Oh, initially I was.
Yeah.
Initially I was one of those people that said that's not a football play. I will put my hand up and admit to it right now. I did say that. But what's changed my mind is, hey, listen, I like the fact that the Eagles are really successful at it. You know, I like the fact that I think the Eagles have something that nobody else has. I like having that in my back pocket going into every game. But the other part of it is. I respect the way the Eagles work it. You know, I respect the fact that these guys practice it. That it's not just pushing bodies there. I mean, there's real technique. There's real practice. I mean, these guys really know what they're doing. Look, every team in the league could run it if they wanted to. There's no rule that says they can't. But the fact is that nobody runs it the way the Eagles do because nobody works at it the way the Eagles do. They're just better at it than everybody else. So I've sort of come around. I respect the fact that you have to practice something that clearly is no fun.
Yeah.
but they do it enough to be as good at it that every week you know they're going to run it and teams still can't stop it. So that's what it is. I mean, to me, it's still kind of a weird-looking play.
Yep.
But I respect the fact that the Eagles work at it the way they do to be as good at it as they are. That kind of effort, you know, I kind of respect that. And there's no doubt that their ability to convert almost every one of those short yardage plays is a tremendous weapon that they have
big
that
time.
Nobody else does.
No question. Ray, final thing, your play, Spinners. How's it going? Where can people see it?
Oh, okay. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, we had dress rehearsal last night, and it went great. I mean, it was really, really good. The actors were great. The set was great. I mean, I came out of there feeling really, really good last night
awesome.
About that. So it opens this Wednesday at the Delaware Theater Company down in Wilmington, and we run through October the 5th. So if anybody wants tickets, and there are tickets still available, go on Delaware Theater Company website and order them now. We open Wednesday night, and I'm really proud of it. I mean, Matt Silva has done a great job putting together a very difficult play, and the cast is outstanding.
Good.
So I hope
That's
people
awesome.
Come out and see it.
Well, congrats
Ray, can
on that,
you
Ray.
Ice skate?
What's that?
Can you ice skate?
No,
yeah,
not a bit.
I'm terrible,
not
too.
A bit.
It's hard.
All right, my man Ray, stay well, and we'll talk to you, and hopefully the Birds keep it going. Thanks, Ray.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Great
see
stuff.
You.
There he is, the Diddy. All right, up ahead, in case you missed it, Sirianni, who famously had a stomp off the field KC moment 2 years ago after a victory, had another moment yesterday after the victory, quoting Eminem. James, have you heard this yet?
I have not, no.
All right, you got to hear it, and then I'll give you my opinion, all right?
Hurts again in the gun. Slot to either side. Into a long count. He's back. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly. And it is complete for a first down as
How
he gets
did he
A.J.
Catch
Brown.
That?
I don't know how he caught it.
He's falling, and he reaches up with one hand, and he catches the ball. This is crazy.
That's A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is special. And it's a one – when he's single covered on the outside, he has to get more opportunities.
Well, that catch was incredible. Absolutely awesome. Obviously, you know, he didn't have many in the game. Certainly didn't have many yards. But we know what A.J. Brown can do, and I think we're all looking for him to get more involved. Now, we'll get to some audio of him post-game.
So do you want Saquon to be involved less?
No, I do not.
Do we need to run more plays for your satisfaction? Like,
well, yeah, if you convert more
only
first downs,
so many
you get,
plays.
If you convert more first downs, you get more plays.
Only so many plays you have, you know?
You're not trapping me in that one. All right, so first off, congrats to the Phils. If you missed it, and I would guess some did, they made the playoffs. So, you know, it wasn't like the celebratory, like, hey, we win and you lose and bang, we're popping champagne playoffs. They could do that tonight, you know, because they can win the division tonight.
Not as much fun in L.A. at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's not the same. But, you know, hopefully tomorrow we're celebrating the Phils as division winners. I mean, look, it's...
And it ain't about winning the division. It's about winning the World Series.
That's true, too. But you know what? They've given themselves a better chance to
no
win
doubt.
The World Series
no doubt,
by
yeah.
what they've done in September.
Of course,
and
not making
season.
Light of it, yeah.
Yeah, so great job by them. Now, one quick thing, and then right back to the Eagles. It was kind of a three-way showdown for who's going to be the fourth starter for the playoffs. And Walker Buehler this weekend was the best. He went 5 innings, 1 run. Taiwan won 5 innings, 4 runs. Aaron Nola went 6 innings, 6 runs. Not a good weekend for Aaron Nola. Mm. Not a good weekend. All right, so Phils, obviously, we'll talk more about them as the week progresses, and obviously hardcore. In the month of October. 215-592-9494. All right, probably the two most interesting pieces of audio that emerged from either near the end of the game or right after the game. One, the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. The other, the head coach, Nick Sirianni. Let's start with Hurts. We'll go in chronological order. If you miss this, Hurts, and the TV camera you know, copy picks this up. This is clear as day on TV. Hurts is about to go for one of those final kneel downs. Chris Jones, star player for the Chiefs, talking some smack to him. What he's going to say is, you didn't even pass for 100 yards. Now he passed for 101, but you catch the drift. So, Chris, isn't that odd? Like talking trash
when the other team is lame. It's really just
other
pathetic.
Teams kneeling down.
I mean, what
that's so weird.
It's the victory formation.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
To do that, it's like, what did you have them in fantasy?
That's
is that
a
your
weird
problem?
One.
I mean, it was just weird.
My guess is the next time top 100 when Jalen's featured, Chris Jones won't be a featured speaker talking about
it. I don't think
he's a guess. All right. So Chris Jones talking some smack. You won't hear that quite as well because the audio is a little muffled. Jalen fires back. You should hear it pretty clear. Let's listen.
2-0 start to this season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2. And hand Patrick.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. We won the MFing game. Shut your mouth. You know?
Just beautiful.
All right, one more time, James, because I'm sure for people that are hearing it the first time, it's a little quick to pick it up. Let's listen again. Chris Jones and Jalen.
2-0 start to this season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2, and hand Patrick.
Pretty good.
You know what's great about it? It shows you like the different sides we're seeing of Jalen this year. Yeah. He talked post game, was really good on with the guys on post game. Mm-hmm. And just that little bit right there, I like the edge that he has.
I did too.
Not many people are going to say that to Chris T. Jones.
Chris Jones. Chris T. was our
not
guy.
The Eagles wide receiver, yes.
Yes.
I played with Chris T. Jones.
I love Chris T. Jones, man.
Like, yeah. A little bit.
After tore his knee.
No, he came in for
it wasn't. It wasn't good anymore. But yeah. But here before his knee, he was awesome. All right, not awesome, but you know, pretty darn good.
I like that.
All right, so that was one piece of audio. Then, a couple minutes later, team's going off the field. We all remember Sirianni 2 years ago, stomping his foot, making his crack about the Chiefs crowd, and you know, I'm not hearing bleep now and all that stuff. All right, so this one's not directed at them, but this has some bravado to it, and you be the judge of whether you're pro Nick doing this or like, hey, coach, rein it in a little bit. If you know the great movie 8 Mile, which Sirianni was probably, gosh, about 20 years old when it came out, great movie from around 2003, a lot of good stuff in there from Eminem. Sirianni's quoting Eminem from one of the battle raps walking off the field. A lot of people will recognize this from late in the movie when Eminem wins the battle rap. Here's Sirianni walking in the locker room, and the microphones picked up him saying this.
Hands up, follow me up! Woo!
All right. James, did you get it? Could you hear it clearly?
No, I couldn't hear it super clearly.
All right, so do you remember late in the movie, in Eminem, in 8 Mile, when he says, everyone from the 313, that's Detroit and the surrounding area, that's their area code, everyone from the 313, put your mother effing hands up and follow me.
Love it.
All right, so awesome. John, James, Rhea, we pro, we anti. Where are we at with that type of bravado from the coach? Let me just say this before you guys go. I'll say this. He gets a lot more leeway from me than 2 years ago because he won the Super Bowl and can say it after a game against that team in a way he could not in 23 after losing the Super Bowl to that team in 22. So I'm going to put that out there. I would say, Nick, be careful. Things can turn. Chill it out a little bit. But I know he's excitable, happy, and he's still feeling it. He's still in the mode of the game just happened and they just won. But it does go public. John, you're ruling.
He can say what he wants. He can talk the way he wants to his team because he's the Super Bowl winning coach of the Philadelphia
carte
Eagles.
Carte blanche, all good.
He knows how to motivate his guys. Absolutely.
Because, you know, 2 years ago was a problem. I mean, just saying it was.
Was he in the tunnel or was he out of the tunnel?
He was in the tunnel. Same thing.
I believe he does
same place.
He was in the tunnel. He was just approaching Howie.
It's different, though.
Because he won Super Bowl, right?
Well, not just that. This one, like the last one, he was yelling directly at fans. He was getting into it with fans. This is like, he's like, he could be talking to his team. Like, guys, follow me. We just won. What a fun win. Like, that felt celebratory to me instead of antagonistic.
I agree. Ray, you with that?
Yeah, because, I mean, I like emotional people. I mean, I didn't like when he was jawing with people when we had the whole thing last year after the Cleveland game. I don't like robot Nick. You know, a little bit of emotion is okay with me. I saw that Dom had to get in between him and the referees during the game.
By the way, that was a righteous gripe.
It was.
It was a horrible call.
100%
it was righteous.
Call.
But he was going off and Dom, thank God Dom's there. he steps in. But, yeah, I like him with a little bit more emotion.
All right, and I agree with that, considering the players are very clear when he seemed to mute up a little bit in October last year. They said, hey, we need our guy back.
Yeah.
And he got back. And it's okay to
be in the flow of a game. I don't mind that. Yeah. I really don't.
It's certainly not what most NFL coaches would do, though, going to the locker room postgame.
No.
I mean, it's, you know, anyway, one more time. Let me play it for you in case, because you might have missed it. It's from 8 Mile, and it's quoting, you know, the line that Eminem says when he turns to the crowd at one point during one of those battle raps. Here you go.
Hands up, follow me up.
Woo! You picked it up that time, right,
Jim? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Man, so I was all ready to give Jordan Davis his props, and then Ken from Cinnamons and swoops in, and you know, but just kind of echoing what he said. I mean, two passes defense, and I get, you know, when you're getting driven into like the secondary and you throw your hands up, but he was getting penetration and just being disruptive. So I really and there were critical, like, you know, drive-changing plays. And then, you know, he actually had a sack that was called back because of the Mickey Mouse holding penalty against Mitchell is the offsetting one. So, I mean,
Some of those were really ticky-tack.
Yep.
They were really – yesterday, the officials were so on that, you know, the quarterback runs by the blocker – and the defender dives as the quarterback runs by, and the blocker just, he's locked on. He's driving his legs, and it's just such a fake hold. I hate when those calls are made. That group yesterday made them every time.
Yeah, and I thought the fourth quarter 15-yarder against the Eagles hitting Mahomes was very
it was all time bad.
This is the Mahomes. He gets one.
Yeah, and I know they're calling that more than they used to, but this one was like, it was an inadvertent hand that like grazed his helmet. It was so weak.
I thought it was very weak. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, that it's Kelsey, you know, catching the ball in his shoe tops and kind of, you know, stiff arming DeGene. You know, like
that was
maybe
a great play.
That was an incredible play.
Face mask. Yeah. It was a great play, but you know, DeGene probably not his world best tackling game of the year, but you know, it's I would to where we were last year after 4 weeks, and we're kind of getting off to a similar slow start. My biggest question is, and you know, we talk about the play calling, and Jason Avant post game is unbelievable. He's so awesome.
He's like really good.
You know, just diagnosing that passing game, and but I just really like, we really don't know if it's the play calling unless we're inside Jalen Hurts' helmet. Like, we don't know what reads he's making.
We don't know yet. You're right.
You're absolutely right.
That's correct.
I know that they. I know that they are protective to a fault. Against the big play, and they want to go for the big play. It does, and they want to run the football. And I think at times they are conservative in terms of the running part. They were a little yesterday. It did feel like we had a running approach. Hey, if it works, we're going to stick. We're going to go back to that play. We're going to keep doing it. And the over the top stuff yesterday, for whatever reason, Jalen felt like he had a better chance one-on-one with Devontae. Hey, new glasses, Joe.
Yeah, new glasses.
Nice. Okay. One-on-one, Devontae was getting the chance yesterday. Usually AJ gets that that opportunity, but next week he probably will.
Well, here's
those
the thing.
Look good.
I appreciate it. No, I actually dig these glasses. Ed, here's what I'll say to what John just said. He's focusing a lot on the over-the-top, and I get it. That's a way to beat the blitz, but so too are just basic slants. And so, again, this might be play calling and not adjusting to the blitz. And we all have to see the film before we really know. And we'll talk to Jaws this week. We'll talk to Shield. These guys will break it down. But I would be stunned if there weren't some opportunities that Jalen turned down. I mean, he's a conservative player. And it does help the Eagles win a lot of games the way he manages it. But I tend to think if he was less conservative, they could win easier. And I thought they played with some fire yesterday.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him as he progresses under this new offense to kind of throw receivers where they should be rather than kind of where they are. And I just think he's to the conservatism point.
Well,
really just kind of
look. Ray's point, Ed. Good call, buddy. Ray's point today, and maybe Ray will be proven right. Maybe he'll be proven wrong. Ray puts a lot of it on that these guys didn't, you know, playing preseason games together, and who knows how much they got, you know, time and practice. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. By the way, speaking of Ray and Seth, Seth's going to join us in half an hour. Seth Joyner, 9 to 10. If you have to, you know, scoot on into work, and I know a lot of people listening at 8:34 do, and maybe you can't hear Seth at 9, go back later today. You can, if you miss Ray, you can hear Ray 7:55 to about 8:10. We had Ray on for about 15 minutes. Seth's going to be on for an entire hour in studio. The Odyssey app always houses all of this, and it's all there for you to listen to live or later in the day at any time. Let's get to Nick in Bucks County. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, morning team. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
That's how you do, Nick! 2-0.
What's up, baby? We got the win on the Chiefs. We're 2-0. This is a great start to the season. I know there's questions, but come on, man. We're 2-0.
Yes. Right. I'm going to give you a but. I don't think Kansas City's very good.
Yeah, sure enough, but...
My point is, I don't feel... Like, normally, if winning Kansas City, like, holy mackerel. I don't feel that, because I actually think they're going to miss the playoffs. Kansas City.
I agree with you, Joe, but that was a great start to the season, 2-0. And I got to give it up to for my bad to the bone award to Jake Elliott and the special teams, because 2 weeks in a row, he's 55-plus yards. You know, these are big field goals that he's hitting for us.
Big time. I mean, listen.
He had 1-7 from 50-plus last season.
Yeah,
3 for 3 this year.
And you know what? The whole thing that it might have been the snapper, Rhea.
It could have been the snapper.
It really might have been the snapper.
The injury. Bo Allen said it, remember?
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Bo
Allen said on Chris Long's podcast that Jake Elliott was hurt last year and people didn't know about it.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, why in like the middle of his career? I mean, he might even still
for
be in the early part of his career.
For just 1 year, too. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like it was like 3 years he stunk and then came back, you know?
He could be a third of the way through his career. Like, why would he suddenly just completely lose it? So, it's very encouraging.
Hey, in honor of your question last week about the old performance in a movie, I got to give it up to the 80-year-old Eric Clapton, man. He tore it up at the Xfinity Mobile Arena Saturday night.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, man. And you won the tickets through us?
I unfortunately didn't, but I am going to see Adam Sandler this Friday. Thank you guys so much for those tickets.
You got it, my man. I think, James, we're giving away more Sandler tickets starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow.
Love it. All right, Nick, good call, buddy. All right, let's listen to A.J. Brown. So when we talk about the passing attack, obviously a lot of it is, you know, you want to see the ball in A.J.'s hands more and Devontae's hands more. Now, each of them made a spectacular catch yesterday. I mean, Devontae late, that was huge, especially after he got his back rattled early. And A.J. with that short third down conversion was nuts. That was incredible. But neither of them is, you know, flourishing yet. By the way, you guys know this is why Sirianni came up with contributions over credit as the mantra this year. I mean, for real. Like, it's the A.J. and Devontae thing. All right. So A.J., post-game, he had been asked about if they can sustain winning this way. They did last year. Doesn't mean they definitively will this year. I mean, they could. But you guys, I feel he's probably frustrated. You guys be the judge on whether he's expressing that or not. Through two different answers we'll play here. Here's AJ yesterday.
You said it would be fair, I mean, in the comment to like whether you could sustain it or not. Are you concerned right now, or is this part of the
No, expecting? I think that's you got a job is to talk about that and, you know, make speculations about it. Is it sustaining or not? But, you know, our job is to come out and just try to find a win and do what we need to do.
He's trying to hold it in, John.
Doing a good job.
He's doing a good job. He held it in.
He didn't. I didn't take that as sounding bothered.
It's your job, guys, to talk about it.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, like, he's saying I want to say it, but I won't.
I didn't take it that way. I get it. I could see what you're saying, but I didn't take it that
Rhea,
way.
Rhea, what do you think?
One more week.
And then he's really going to be unhappy.
And I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either.
You know, your point,
he could miss the Hall of Fame on this.
Your point that he's a top five wide receiver. He is. I mean, this is Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, Kevin Petullo's job. Is to get the ball to him.
Yeah, I would blame him. What are you talking about? Win football games. Who cares? If they go 17-0 and he doesn't get passes, are we going to complain about it? Like, I think that's nonsense. Like, win games. That's all that matters. Like, and anyone who doesn't feel that is the number one thing.
Well, it is number one.
Why would AJ be upset? They're 2-0. They just won the Super Bowl.
Do you tell me you think AJ is not upset?
I don't think he should be.
Do you think he is?
I don't think he is yet. I really don't.
Part of being a great wide receiver is you have to have this innate desire, this belief that you need the ball in your hands to help the team win. He has that desire.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I guarantee he thinks the team has a better chance if he's getting the ball every single play. And so when he doesn't, I'm positive he's ticked, but he's doing the great teammate thing.
I agree with you, John. I totally agree with that.
But here's the thing. Devontae Smith is also ticked that he's not getting the ball. Like, every single guy worth his salt he's expecting the ball every single snap. And in this offense now, the defense tells Jalen where the ball goes. There's nothing so AJ can't be that perturbed when the defense is the culprit. Now, for the most part, I do think that this offensive staff, come on, guys. You know, you can plan a little better to force the ball to your best players. We know that Saquon's going to get the ball handed to him an awful lot. Hand the ball to AJ. I don't care. Get the ball in his hands.
Like a slant pattern, AJ is like a handoff almost, right? Like, what? Run that like six times a game.
That's what Aikman hit Michael Irvin with seven times a game back in the day.
It's a balance.
Quite effective.
Right now, they're forgetting how important it is to keep him involved into it.
Look, one thing that'll be key as this week goes on and we all get a chance to check out the film is, was he not open much? Or was he open and Jalen just wasn't firing it at him? I don't know as we sit here this
morning. For what it's worth, Brady did say during the broadcast, like late in the broadcast, that receivers had not been open for the Eagles.
Yes, he did say that one time.
He talked about it.
Yes,
so, I mean, we have to see the full tape. But according to Tom Brady, they weren't open much.
All right, one more with AJ, because this was, I thought, a strange sequence. Now, I want to be very transparent here. You know, I haven't seen the video of this. I think Elliott's asking him the question. We'll have to ask Elliott tomorrow what was going on when this exchange happened. I thought it was just kind of a strange sequence. AJ at his locker talking to reporters, and then just listen. Here we go.
What was Nick's message to you guys in the locker room after the win?
I was in the training room.
You're all right?
Yeah.
All right, so he said that's internal. He was asked, what was the message? He said, that's internal. And then I think that was Elliot that said, are you all right? And then he said, yeah. So, we'll have to ask Elliot tomorrow, what?
That's weird.
What was going on there? Let's play it one more time. Right, Ray? It's a little weird. Let's listen one more time to that exchange.
What was Nick's message to you guys in the locker room after the win?
I was in the training room.
You're all right?
Yeah.
Just a little...
I don't know that he said internal.
That's what I thought he said, internal. What do you think he said?
I had a tough time hearing it.
Terrible. Was it terrible?
Oh, I thought he said that's internal.
Something.
Why would somebody follow it with, are you all right?
I thought it was.
It sounded like he got distracted
terrible.
Or something else happened. Like maybe dropped something.
He's looking
weird.
At his phone, reading an article. Oh, that seems terrible, or something like that.
I feel
this is one
where we need the video to know, for context.
We'll
or Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe get Elliot right now. It's fine because I think that was him, and I'd be curious what the heck was going on there. All right, 215-592-9494. Look, great job that the Birds get to 2-0. Obviously, you can tell from some of my commentary, I'm not over the moon thrilled. But got to give, first off, got to give Sirianni a lot of credit for, I'll say, having training camp and the preseason where they're not going all out, but they still manage to start 2-0. That's not the easiest thing to do. And he's got a knack for winning the first game. He doesn't always win the second game. They won the second game this year 2-0. That's outstanding. You got to stack wins when you're not playing your best because you want to, ultimately get to 12 or 13 or 14 and has some home field advantage action. So that's really good. I thought Jalen obviously made some plays that were very effective. The throw late to Devontae was outstanding. I thought Jalen, the best thing he did was not turning it over. and not taking many sacks in the midst of tremendous pressure. With that said, I'd like to see Jalen be better in the passing game. Saquon, something doesn't quite look the same. I don't know what that is. It's early. Maybe it's the offensive line. Ray talked about the offensive line struggles. And the defense is way ahead of schedule.
We were told by this team that this first month is going to be sort of a developmental teaching, like getting into the swing of the regular season month. So you're saying, the run game isn't quite where
we need it to be. Yeah, but isn't
it
for Dallas and KC also?
The passing game isn't quite where it needs to be. Yes, these teams are all works in progress. We were told that we need to be a little patient with the way it looks right now.
I'll be a little patient. I'm not going to be overly patient.
Right now we're 2-0. Right now we just went into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. And I don't care whether you think they're the great Chiefs or not. They're going through the same sort of things we are. With, you know, getting into the swing of the regular season.
Yep.
But meanwhile, they have no one to throw the ball to.
I mean,
no one.
Their offense is brutal.
Yeah.
And Mahomes did not play particularly well.
But clearly, our guys, that's part of it. A greater degree for why Patrick Mahomes
I love
had a bad
what
game.
The defense is doing. I mean, yeah. John, you were calling it in the preseason saying this defense is going to be better than I thought. And so far, score two for you.
These linebackers change everything. It's so exciting that I mean, and they're here. We have these guys for five more years.
Yeah, getting Campbell and Makuba the year after getting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean should not be legal.
I Rhea, I agree.
My God,
and that's after getting Jalen Carter, and that's
and
after.
Listen, I understood why Jalen Carter dropped, you know, in the Eagles' lap because of all the issues.
Yeah,
you know, Jahad Campbell had a shoulder injury. What did you think he was going to have a shoulder injury? Like his entire career?
Every linebacker I've ever known has had thousands of shoulder injuries.
It made no sense to me.
Well, some have it worse. Listen, clearly the teams did not have him medically
cleared.
Evaluated properly.
That's it.
I mean, they thought he was going to be out for some extended period of time and were affected in his career. We don't know
breaking
the effect
news,
in his career,
wasn't.
But he was ready for week one. He was ready for the start of the preseason.
Like, played like 95% of the snaps yesterday.
Yeah, no, he's a player. James, what do you got in there?
Texting with Elliot. He's flying home, so he can't talk. Okay. But and Ike in Southwest just called up to confirm it as well. But what happened was he said, what was the team's message?
AJ?
Elliot said, what was the team's, Nick's message to the team? And AJ said, I was in the training room.
Gotcha.
So I didn't hear the message. And then another reporter says, are you okay?
Because
you're in the training room.
That makes
so
sense.
That's what happened.
That's good work. All right. Appreciate that, James. Good stuff.
Crisis averted.
Thank God. Asked and answered.
I still think he's in a bit. Is that a Chevy Chase thing right there? Yeah. I still think AJ is probably unhappy.
Good pickup by you.
All right. Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning.
Fellas, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Great, hey, Chuck.
Hey, pal.
Listen, I don't know if this is a 2-0 start from last year or 2-0 start from 2023 when the 49ers came in and kicked our teeth in and everything went downhill from there. You know, I'm happy with the wins, but I mean, you know, Selt says, I hear people like Selt saying, oh, we're winning, so that's all that should matter. But I mean, you know, AJ sacrificed last year for us to win a Super Bowl. You know, you got his numbers, you know, now he wants his numbers, and I can respect that, man. The guy is a wide receiver, you know, he's a Hall of Fame. He could be in the Hall of Fame if he, you know, if he continues his career, and this could be jeopardizing that, man. You know what I mean? Listen, here's the thing about it. Nobody's ever wide open in the NFL. You got to throw with anticipation. You got to throw guys open, and I don't see that, man. You know, and I just as changed of Brian Johnson's offense 2 years ago and less of Kellen Moore's offense. A year ago, Kellen Moore had more experience than Petullo and Brian Johnson. So I don't know what to believe when I see a 2-0 start. I just know that I don't like what I'm seeing on the offensive side of the football. Throwing 101 yards, winning football game, yes. No touchdown. He has not thrown a touchdown all year long yet. I mean, you got guys throwing 4 touchdowns in one game. He hasn't thrown out one. He's a quarterback. I mean, I take the win, but I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know if this is sustainable.
Chuck, just to clarify, a big part of my thing is it's 2 weeks into the season. Like, if the offense looks like this in week 8, I'll have a different discussion with you. But I, as I said last year, as I said at this point, as we found out through 5 weeks last year, the offense and the team doesn't look like what it's going to look like in week 8, week 9, week 15 now.
And I think it makes a lot of sense that our offense in this game stripped things down. I think Kevin Petullo and company decided, hey, you know what? Let's streamline things a little bit this week because we are in Arrowhead. We're not going to be able to communicate the way we need to. So if we find a few, you know, let's dial back the number of run plays. Let's dial back the number of pass plays that because there are some we can't execute properly because we won't be able to have everyone hear when we're changing things or, you know, adjusting. So it was a little bit different yesterday, the crowd involvement. And I think that dictated to some degree an additional layer of simplicity. If maybe I'm giving them too much credit here, but I think they won, and I did see them come back to the plays that worked. You know, they repeating
John,
the things
saying.
That happened and were effective.
I hear what you're saying, John. I truly do, and Shelf. But, I mean, I've seen Justin Herbert light this defense up. 325 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, and who was he throwing the ball to? I mean, it comes a time where, like I said, I don't know what this 2-0 start is right now. And you're right, Celtics. I mean, we're not 8 weeks into the season, but we're 2-0 right now. But we start off 2-0 in 2023, and you've seen what happened that season. So I don't know what to believe and what.
Chuck, I think it's
right
a reasonable
now.
Call. I co-sign. Other than your gripe that they're not having passing touchdowns, I mean, I feel it a little bit, but they have such an advantage with the tush-push when they get down there, and Saquon if necessary. I don't put as much in that, but the rest of what you said for me resonates quite a bit. So, and look, go ahead.
You got to throw the football. I mean, you know, they not have no touchdowns throwing the football 2 weeks into the season. Nobody thinks that's alarming. I mean,
I think it's somewhat alarming, but not. Look, I agree with most of your call. I'm just saying the TD thing less so. But anyway, Chuck, interesting.
When he throws for 4 touchdowns the next week, does that counterbalance
your
worry?
They scored 7 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. The passing touchdown didn't seem to hurt them.
Right.
Then.
And last year, Jalen had, what, 18 passing TDs?
15 or 16, something like that. Wasn't many.
I mean, that's
one
a game.
Yeah,
essentially.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I know he missed, what, 2 games or something? All right, poll and then the Merrill montage, how it sounded yesterday. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The $7,500 federal tax credit ends September 30th. Now in stock, the Equinox Blazer and Silverado EVs together. Let's drive. First poll question, are you concerned, as we were just talking about, are you concerned about the Eagles passing offense? We know how Chuck would vote, yes or no. Second poll question, do you think the Chiefs will make the playoffs this season? Yes or no, we're trying to assess essentially the quality of the win yesterday. I mean, it's a good win, but I don't think it's like this grandiose win that we would have thought in the last 6 or 7 years. I don't think Kansas City is very good. I think they're going to miss the playoffs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.